This is Chief Mako, Chief Black Thunderbird Eagle of the Amassi Native American Mosaic Creek Nation. Registered number 208-99. I'm also known as Dr. Malachi Z. York. And I'm answering some questions for people who are concerned about my feelings while incarcerated. Or should I say while in bondage? Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mako.
Good afternoon.
My first question is, this case involved longtime members of this tribe.
Some.
Some were born into it, some others were, you know, came into it with their parents, and some...
And some just drifted in.
Okay. Now, there's one person in particular that's been named in some of the different literature I've read, named Wally, also known as Bruce LaRoche.
Mm-hmm.
He was your best friend for over 30 years, and now three of his children, I think one niece, are involved in this case against you.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make you feel?
Okay, well, actually, it does bother me a lot, right? But it bothers me only because I thought that after 30 years of being around a person on an everyday basis, that they would really know you. And I know that anything that he may have said was prompted after he was told the lies, after they planted it in his head. Did he really hear the truth, or did he hear what the children warned him? Did he forget the kind of children, you know, some of the children we raised and how they thought? Because he had so many conflicts with his own children, did he just forget how they think? I mean, if he'd been around some of them, he would know them. You follow? Some of the kids that got up there right in court and then got up there and said, okay, well, I was forced to do this because my father, namely him, made me do this, put pressure on me, and actually got on the phone and talked to two other so-called victims who were there testifying on my behalf. And this is all in the minutes where the young girl gets up there and says, okay, I admit that I had a boyfriend, I was having sex with a boyfriend, I admit that nothing happened between me and Mr. York. And then when I got out in the street, after being taken into custody by the DFACS, but they didn't get caught, actually they were supposed to be taken into custody by DFACS, but they wasn't. They was put in the custody of Noel E. Wilson, who took them off their land for 4 days before they even got the DFACS. They're trying to hide that fact also, something else we are investigating, all right? But while in that custody, and after being incarcerated with them for a period of over 6 months, that person kept saying, nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing, I promise you they lied, and da, 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 da. And then the moment the person leaves, is forced to leave the land and get in the company of other relatives who have been a part of this financial plot against me to try to get rich, then the person admits that, well, the only reason why I'm responding is because I had peer pressure put on me by my father, telling me that I can't go out, I can't go with them, I can't do this, and they called some friends who were two of the other people that had been picked up and released, right? And mind you, all those kids, the five that was taken from the land on May 8th, when they finally got into the custody and was examined and was interviewed and critiqued and cross-examined, it came out in a long one where it came out where they had nothing wrong with them. And a judge called Species in, I think it was in Putnam County, right, actually released them and said, we find no trace of molestation or physical abuse in any form or fashion. So they've actually just dropped it, you know what I mean, threw it out. But they kept one of the kids in custody named Asa Johnson because they wanted him to turn over on his mother or on me. And he persisted all the way up until they put him on a stand in Brunswick. Still, after 2 years of being separated from us, they put him on a stand. He still said, nothing happened between me and my mother and father. Nothing happened. I never was molested by anybody. I don't know what these people are trying to do to me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that what he may have forgotten, Wally, along the way, is after being with a person every day from sun up to sun down, you get to know that person. You know something about the person. And one thing I know about him from being around him is that he's easy swayed. The kids worked on his emotions, and they turn him against him. He wants to believe it because he's already out. He's disgruntled. He had problems with members. When I got to the South and I started driving for myself, and me and him wasn't socializing every day, our friendship weakened, 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 weakened. He went out. He got involved with my brother Bruce Alam's wife called Holland and remarried and had, other children by another family, but he still lingered in Georgia. So what I noticed about all these people who supposedly followed me down there, of course, many of them was here before I got here, all the people with the attitudes don't seem to leave, though. When they leave, why don't they return back to where they came from, New York or the Bronx or Queens or Jersey or whatever other state they come out of? They all seem to stay near me some kind of way. You follow what I'm saying? So, yes, I was kind of disappointed about it, but I understood. I know him because just like he knows me. But, and him knowing me, he should know better than that. And I know him to know what they did. They worked on his emotions. He's a very emotional person, so he broke down and cried. And at that point, he would have said anything that the feds wanted him to say.
Mm-hmm.
They could have used him any way they want because he would have been thinking, well, I want revenge. You follow?
Yes.
So that was a disappointment, but I understood it. I still love him. He's still my friend, always will. But I know he understands his children more better than I do because he had to beat one of them and throw one of them out. In fact, he's the one we have a problem. Bonham, but I think the son's name was Eddie, and we have the actual records where Eddie's in his first statement, they call him Khalid Abdullah Muhammad, right? In his first records, he mentioned to the government that he was first molested between 6 and 9 by his own brothers, and his father beat the heck out of him, and we had a stack of witnesses out there who had witnessed the beating and had witnessed the conversation between them in Brooklyn, how he beat the kids, but what he was doing. We had other people that was part of it and testifying of the involvement. We even had a boyfriend, an ex-boyfriend of Khalid, who was willing to testify and come in and say that there was him and him was having sexual involvement way before I even knew who Eddie was in Brooklyn, New York. But the judge, of course, blocked that part of the information out. We have it. We have the records. We have the documents. We have the available witnesses that are willing to testify. But they put a block on that for the time being, of course. So, yes, it affected me in the case. But I still, you'll always know a friend. I'll always love him. I mean, I'm hurt by it, but I'll overcome it. That's all part of understanding what the scripture says.
Right. Now, another, I just want to go down the line and
okay.
different people that have affected this case tremendously. Okay. Now, one of the named people in the conspiracy is your son, Jacob York. How does a father handle something like that?
Well, his real name is not Jacob York. His name is Yaqub Abdullah Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? His mother's name is Ubaida Abdullah Muhammad. And he has, you know, siblings, brothers and sisters. Right? It's a very touchy situation because his mother died of an aneurysm attack. Right? Me and her have been separated for many, many, many years. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
And she died of an aneurysm attack, which her father also died from, and one of her brothers, Maddie, all died from. Maddie Johnson. All right, he went off and told people that I was responsible for the death of his mother. This really affected the kid. You know, it destroyed his mind. Then on top of that, one of his brothers, one of the twins, which is my son, Yedlin Lackey, he was at a party in New York. He was down here with me, living in Georgia. He said he was going up to New York to spend a little time with his sister, Fatima, because of Valentine's Day, and he wants to let her know that he is going to move down to stay with me in Georgia. Your father? And when he went up to New York, he got involved with them, hanging around, living his brother, Jacob's house, he calls himself Jacob or Jake York, Yaqub, living in Yaqub's house with him. Yaqub eventually threw him out of his house. He got involved with another member of his family and ended up in a party and was, you know, shot fatally and died. Your father, I think that also affected his mind. Then he was involved with people like Little Kim and them. I ain't got to tell you about Little Kim and her dress habits and the vulgarity and, you know, the lewdness of the, and involved with that corporate, he called himself Yorktown Records or Yorkville or something like that, your records, and he was hanging out with the Junior Mafia and hanging out with that whole hip-hop, hot crowd, tough guy, stuff like that, called himself gangster, and he's involved with all kind of bank fraud and forging false checks and all kind of things and trying to, you know, trick the government. So he came to me at one point and asked me for some money, right? He wanted me to help back him to back Little Kim. I told him I cannot back a person like Little Kim with my reputation. I'm not going to put my reputation on the line. And, well, she's nude and stuff like that. I ain't got nothing against her and her career. That's her life. But it doesn't sit into our lifestyle as you Native American Moors, and I didn't want that to reflect on our community. He got very mad. He started cursing, stomping around. And, you know, he left and went off. Him and Sakina Parham at the time was kind of close because they used to be boyfriend and girlfriends when they were upstate. See, Jake York or Yaqub was Ada's boyfriend. He was also Sakina Parham's boyfriend, and they had gotten caught several times upstate having sex, right? And they got in trouble for that. And he was mad about that. He was running a record store that I once had up there in Liberty, New York, and it was caught stealing money out of the store, and he got in trouble for that. I did everything I could to try to shape him into a better person, but down inside, he had this desire to go his own way. He became an avid hater of me, and he became one of the campaigners of this whole case, of launching this whole thing and getting these people together and threatening them and scaring them. He was on payroll, and he was on the payroll at the FBI. Now, a witness got on the witness stand who was his best friend, who was there when the deal was made with FBI agents, and he was also the one who was going to testify that Jake came to him because they knew he was good at forging checks and tried to get him to forge checks for him so he could use those forged checks to buy a house because his credit was not strong. His credit was around $2,000. He needed to be $24,000 to get covered from the bank, and the guy refused to do it, which is a friend of his called Damien Pryor, who was up there at the court to testify about this, and in their testimony, he testified how Jake York was on the government payroll. They got to Jake York for things he had did in the past, right, and then turned him. He already had a dislike for me, and they used that as an excuse to try to topple our organization and topple me, so he got to him and then told him to solicit people, and he went around getting people. Meanwhile, while he's soliciting people, like Tia Thomas, she was that guy, Hakeem's girlfriend, and so he pulled her away from Hakeem, and he's having sex with her. He's having sex with Kareema Hamill. having sex with Kenny Parham. He's having sex with all these people, and they all testified to it on the stand. Yes, that Jake York was the one having sex with all of these people, and then they all lived in this house together. The thing is, now, if he had hired this guy that was supposed to adjust checks so the amount of money would be suitable so he can get this loan from the bank, and the guy refused to do it, but then he eventually got the house anyway, and we have the records to show his accounts that he only had $2,000 in the bank, and we checked the records in the bank for the person in the house, and the records were up, then the forgery was actually done. This guy, Damon Pryor, didn't do it, but he forged it, and he bought this house along with Barbara Noel, which is Arda Lopez and David Noel and Amanda Noel's children. Those are the ones who are the ones, you know, all in this case. You follow? So it's like a plot, it's a conspiracy. Then he got together with a bunch of these people and invited them down to South Beach, Florida, so he could get it together. They rented buses, they transported miners across the state line, but nobody said nothing. Out of coming out of Georgia all the way down to Florida, so they could, you know, get together and plan their plot, get their story together. When they came back off the beach, South Beach, Florida, they went straight into the FBI's agency. Jake went back up in there and started letting them know who he had and how he got them coerced and. And how these people were all scared, and he told them, if you don't do it, we're going to get you in jail because you was involved in this, and we already know this, and we already know that, and they got a whole bunch of stuff, and putting the thoughts in the people's head. And they started writing, and the agents wrote their own 302s and made these people try to memorize these 302s so they could use them on the stand. Mm-hmm. Things didn't go their way because everybody didn't comply. Jake couldn't convince everybody. A lot of people swore he was full of it. He brought down a bunch of hip-hop groups. They were down in South Beach. They were getting drunk. They were smoking marijuana. And we had a whole bunch of witnesses that were minors who were willing to testify what went on in South Beach. The judge blocked it. The judge blocked some of the girls who were minors who said they had sex with them down there. The judge blocked it. The judge blocked the fact that they were smoking marijuana and using crack down there. The judge blocked it. The judge blocked it, the fact that they had parties where all the girls got naked and they was having big orgies and they videotaped it and we were getting access to the video. The judge blocked it. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes,
so Jake was being used. I'm saying he's my son, he'll always be my son, right? And he said, I hope he's my son, I said like that, right? But he'll always be my son regardless, you know, I can't say I'll ever hate him. That would be inhuman, right? But I know they manipulated him and they used him, and that's what they wanted to do to top his organization. He had no concern with his organization because he was in the hip-hop world, so he didn't have nothing to lose anyway. You follow?
Right.
But they had him binded by things he did.
Right.
And then that prompted him to really go out and do a lot of devilishment. And
right.
then in the course of trying to topple me.
Right. Now, there's another key person in the whole conspiracy that keeps on coming up, and that person's name is Habiba Abigail Washington.
Yes.
She's named as one of the primary conspirators along with Jacob York.
Mm-hmm.
She, according to the case, was very close to the organization. She, at one point, was even running the organization dealing with the finances.
Uh-huh.
Now, what is your feelings on her role in the whole entire case and things of that nature?
Okay, first of all, when they speak about Habiba Abigail Washington, Habiba Abdullah Muhammad, right, she was more than just a part of the case, right? She was somebody I was very close to, trusted a great deal, right, and loved a lot. We have two children, a son named Enlil, a daughter named Sutton, two beautiful children, all right? Close to the whole family, all right? I know her mother, I know her father. In fact, her father, Nathaniel Washington, which is named Yusuf Short, was on the stand to testify on my behalf. Never to badmouth or talk bad about his daughter. He didn't never say anything against her, you know what I'm saying, bad. It's just that he said he knew that when she came to him, she was 17, about me and her relationship. And then the prosecution tried to make him look bad by saying you didn't feel it strange that a 40-year-old man was trying to marry a 17-year-old girl. And he said, well, she came to me. And then he came to me and talked about it. And we live by the Bible law. We don't live by what you're calling your system of faith. We live by the Bible law and our tribal laws. In our tribal laws, we don't have the same principles where y'all pretend y'all have all these ethics and y'all pretend y'all have all these morals for the public. But behind closed doors, all kind of things like the Clinton situation is going on. And I can go on and on, the Catholic churches, et cetera, et cetera. All right, so let me leave it like that there. As far as I'm concerned, Habiba Abdullah Muhammad was threatened by people and coerced that they were going to take our children away from her and put her on the spot. She's really a beautiful person. They put her on the spot, and I can tell because when I was in the court looking at her eyes from the stand after knowing her since she was a kid, right, I knew that they were manipulating her against me. You follow? And I can see the regret at a certain person in her eyes. It hurt me just to sit there, but I could feel her touch me heart to heart. You follow what I'm saying? And say, this is ridiculous, it's out of hand. You know what I mean? There's nothing in our life that involves this much to go this far where they're trying to put me away, her, the father of her children, for life. So I don't see her as a bad person at all, as people would like me to see. I'm not mad at her, I'm not angry, I'm hurt somewhat, but I realized after I saw her, I needed that. When when I was down in Brunswick and I was in court, and I saw her eye to eye. I needed to see that to be, for me to be able to look inside and say, they have cornered her.
Mm-hmm.
They may have been mad when she left because I distrusted her for certain things. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But in actuality, I could see that she didn't mean for it to get like this or go this far, that they all got tricked by her, which is Seals, and by Jacob, who was threatening them of what's going to happen to them if they don't cooperate with the government and all that other kind of stuff. And I understand that. And they received what they call favorable concessions. They paid them all kind of things to coerce them to topple the organization. But I don't think those people really thought it was going to go this far. Especially, I don't think she would think it was going to go far. They were trying to put me away for life, or as many times they tried to kill me and torture me since I've been incarcerated. I don't think she anticipated all that happening. Well, as far as RICO and all that stuff, they threw the RICO together at the last minute. It wasn't even in the original indictment. They just threw that together because they needed some way to hold this case together. Then went to them and told them, what we need you to say is he told you to structure money or whatever, you know, a certain amount of time. And this, and they give him the dialogue, and they got to say it on the stand, and that's it. Because by the time she was re-questioned by, after the prosecution finished, by the time she got before the defense prosecution, the whole thing changed. When they stopped putting the receipts up, she was saying, I'm not saying that he told me that day to do this or that. Things changed, but the judge had already had, the judge and the jury and all that was already pre-stacked. You know what I mean? It was already set up anyway, so it was going to go on regardless of what was coming down, but we got all that on the minutes, and everything is down, and we're getting the transcripts so that that could be exposed for the appellate. But I don't have any hard feelings against Habiba Washington, or I call her Habiba, right, at all, okay?
Okay. Now, we discussed some of the older people involved in this case, but there's a lot of, there's no children. That's just
right.
The wives.
I'm glad somebody knows that they made it look like little children. All these people are adults.
Right.
They had to create a law to get them in, and they couldn't have done it without the RICO.
Right.
And that way they could get these adults to get up there and say, this happened to me when I was a kid, 10, 15, 20 years ago, and tell the public, they make the public think some kid is sitting up there.
Right.
So that they can make, they can get a hate group against me.
Right.
That was a tactic.
Now, how do you feel about those who testify that basically grew up or spent their whole lives within the tribe and practicing the tribal customs and the culture and the way of life of Nuwapu,
right,
that testified against you? How does that make you feel?
Well, when I was in court and I was listening to individuals talk, I got a different perspective of it. When I saw David up on the stand, David Noel, Tariq, and I heard them questioning him, and he admitted that he, you know, recanted and it didn't really happen, and then he yelled out, it did, because the FBI, prosecutors looked at him like, you better change that, because you just told him, we got you on that stand, don't forget, we got your mother, because we're going to get your mother for trying to embezzle him and bribing him, and we got the actual document through the computer where your mother, under the name Belle Keith, and we traced it back to her, was trying to bribe Mr. York for money while he was incarcerated to make this thing go waste. And how your sister is here to testify, and his sister's older sister came in and testified how David went to her while and visited her and asked her for pencils. She can write these letters, right? So he can write letters and let the world know that this is a hoax and it shouldn't, it's out of hand, and it was all about money, and he was being coerced. And now he found out his mother, because they gave him a prison, his mother was in so much danger, and she was in such a threat, and she was going to go to jail. And Don Baskins and I forgot his name, Mr. Bright in the state turned it around, as well as Wood, you know, and Mrs. Thatcher in the federal turned it around. So when I saw David on the stand, I saw him being questioned, and I saw how they was attacking him and putting him on the spot. And when the prosecution came up, how he recanted, we had three letters to prove it, how he met with Manny and them and told him he didn't want to do it. But then we realized Manny and them came out of Garland's office, and he was a man in there who was supposed to be a private investigator trying to trick David by bribing him with some baseball tickets to try to destroy the whole recantment. We realized now that was part of the plot. But when David walked by me in the court, he looked at me in my face, smiling. After the court, he even tried to call my sons and all them and tell them, you know, that he wants to talk to them and talk to the family. This has been happening recently. They know that because they monitor everything we're doing. So I have nothing against David at all.
Okay.
Or his sister, Amanda, she can understand, and all these people, I understand what Amanda and them, Arden and them were just vicious because they was caught up in a money game. The kids were influenced by their older brothers and sisters to lie with them, right? Arden and them was gone for money. Arthur was gone for money. Sakina Parham was gone for money. Abigail was tricked into it. Some of them were just vicious people that, you know, that was angry and all kind of stuff. And Arden knew we had a letter with her as a child molester, and let's say Abdul Salam, which is Wally or Bruce LaRoche's son and Mary Eddington's son, has a charge getting ready to come up on him for child molesters because he molested my grandson, Ishaq Muhammad, which is my son, Isha's son, and Fidaka. And there's charges that we have in the defect. It might be coming out. It will be coming out against Abdul Salam soon. If on his case, when he was in the stand, he messed up every which way. His lies was wrong. He put a studio in a house when it's in a building. All kinds of different things. And it was very obvious in the minutes that they were being coerced by these people and bribed into thinking they was going to get something that they can't possibly have. And after it's over, the government tried to foreclose and take everything and give them nothing. No money for psychiatric evaluation. They wasn't concerned about their health. They're not even concerned about their futures and what these young men look like, putting them on a cell phone stand and putting themselves in these sodomistic states of mind for the public. They got to grow up with that, the following generation. Like, they don't care. These people, these races down here will go back and leave them out there in the world after all this is over with all this on their back and millions of followers and Nuwapis are angry and all that kind of stuff. And that's why I'm doing this, David, and the Nuwapis. No, I am not angry at them people. And I don't want you to be angry. I don't want us to fall for the devil's trap when we turn on each other. That's what they want us to do, divide and conquer.
Right.
It's always worked that way. I don't have nothing against any of them. And the ones that are malicious, they'll get theirs on their own because that's how it is. The Most High take care of them. You know what I'm saying? The ancient ones will work against them. But the other ones don't believe for 1 minute I'm mad at any of them. If that makes me sound crazy, then I'm crazy, but I'm not mad at them. I understand this is a systematic elimination process to